Welcome to the Regal Poet Radio Show. This is your host, Simone M. Plusper, and as we always say, this is the conduit for the poet entrepreneur, and we are always so glad to bring you the latest and greatest and best in the creative arts business. We started to listen to our guest today, Mr. Ricky Monday, who is known as a former drug trafficker. And just a adventurous cowboy during a time where Miami was filled with a lot of violence and drug trafficking and just so many things. But in the end, what we got was just an awesome, awesome storyteller. Now he is an author, and he has a career as a speaker and writer, and he has his spoken word CD called Tall Tales. And it's actually with great pleasure that we have him on here with us to share some of his storytelling skills, which he is an avid storyteller. And also, you know, we are about the arts business, so it is a business. It is something that you can purchase on Amazon. He has made a career out of it, and it's just listening to him and talking to him about his life. If you know me, you know that I'm not about drug cartels, and I barely watch Scarface and those type of things. So all my bias aside, just listening to him, he's just hilarious and has a wealth of knowledge that I truly believe that is something aside of him that needs to be shared, and definitely something as poets, as writers, as authors, even as just business leaders and speakers, being able to tell a strong story, being able to tell a great story is really what gets us to the next level. And that's why we have Mr. Ricky Monday on the show today. And it's a great pleasure we get to have him on. So let's go ahead. Let me chime him in. Just bear with me one moment as I open up his line. I do see that he's with us. And if you didn't know, Mr. Monday is a South Florida native, still lives in the area, so that's kind of cool as well. Those of us that are in South Florida, we definitely have a treasure. And he is actually called a local treasure, deemed by even the Miami New Times. But after meeting him, I definitely would agree that he's definitely a treasure with us. So let's go ahead and bring him on. I know you can hear me, but we can't hear you as yet. Mr. Monday, are you there?
Yes, ma'am. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can. Excellently. I can hear you perfectly.
I have no idea what line we're talking on because it looks like we got two at the same time here.
We do. We do. I just chimed you in a different way.
Okay.
We don't have time for any technical difficulties.
Wait, I'm sorry, but anytime a woman wants to do me a different way, I'm right there.
Oh my gosh! In perfect Mickey Monday fashion, I you're always quick witted with it.
Well, sometimes I'm quick with other things too.
Well, I'm glad you're having a chipper morning this morning. I'm glad to hear you're in great spirits, as always.
After listening to all the things you said about me, I'm glad I'm standing outside because my head is so swollen.
They're all true. They're all true. I would never lie to you or lie to my audience for that matter.
I don't know. All those nice things people said about me. I wonder where they were like 20 years ago when they were incarcerating me.
I know, right? Which is so true. That is like a perfect thing to say because it's true. When you're in the midst of things, they have every bad thing to say about you, which is a testimony in itself. You didn't even realize, for those of you out there, when you're in the midst of things, they call you every name in the book. But when it's over, if you survive, you made it through, you can definitely change the way people see you and talk about you. Isn't that interesting?
I'm going to say, yeah. I don't think I'm any different than I was, you know, 30 years ago or 40 years ago. Hell, 50 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still the wise guy and quick with the word and enjoying life. You sent me a bunch of questions that I thought were interesting.
Good. Thank you. Thank you for saying that. The check's in the mail for that one.
Okay. Most people want to know how to do what I used to do. And actually, I tell them, you know, you need to have this, you need to have that, you need to go here, and you need maybe think you might end up in a little room for a long while if you don't do it the right way. So
exactly, which, you know, you spent 9 years incarcerated.
I'm not belittling my nine or anybody who's done any time, but I got lucky that right afterwards they changed the law, and I'd probably still be there because they made all the sentences even harder, not harsher.
Oh wow!
So I got paroled, which they don't do anymore. I was such a good guy; they paroled me.
That's good. That's good, or a good actor, whichever one, right?
No, I really was a nice guy. I just, you know, I don't bother anybody.
No, this is true. This is true. I definitely, meeting you would have never. Someone would have said that. I've been like, nah, I don't believe it, because you're very, very. Your demeanor is. You're like a teddy bear.
Well, that's me. I never understood all the violence of the things that I used to do. Well, why the people had to do all those crazy things? It never made sense. I always thought the whole idea was to make money, not to hurt somebody else, to have a really good time and a great adventure doing it. So, but other people had other ideas about it. So. Fortunately, I never got involved in that. I tried to distance myself from any of the and nut jobs. There were a lot of them then, really a lot of them. Yeah. So I tried to be the good guy. I tried to stop a lot of things from happening. You know, just let's go make money. Let's not hurt people.
Right.
So, awesome. And I end up with a whole bunch of stories to write about and tell about. And that's what the people seem to be interested in. I have other stories to tell, but those are the ones that people are fascinated by. And so I tell stories that way.
Right. When did you think you realized you were good at telling stories? Is it a skill that you learned over the years, or was that just something innate?
Well, ideally, a lot of people say it has to do with being Irish. We're full of baloney. And I'm an Irish man. Which is a nice way of saying we're full of, well, anyway, you know what I'm talking about. So we tell stories. I like to tell stories that make people laugh, too, or make you think about it. And most of the stories I tell are true. They're true. Well, they have some point to them. And I get in trouble for some of the stories they tell, but I get in trouble nicely. The young lady you met the other night when I was with, I met her mother, and I told her a story about her birds. And the girl couldn't believe it. I told her mother a dirty story about talking birds. And I didn't even know the woman like 3.5 minutes, and her mother was roaring.
It's funny. It's true. I'm definitely a very, what you would call a prude. And some of your stories did make me blush, but not in a bad way. They were just so funny. I couldn't even believe I was laughing at them.
Well, a lot of the stories I tell, you have to have it proves that you have a dirty mind, because my stories really aren't dirty. It's just where you thought they were going, they didn't go.
They were very provocative, and provocative doesn't always mean dirty.
Well, okay, that will get you. Thank you very much for that. I'll take it.
Which is good. Did you tell stories in your heyday? What's considered your quote unquote heyday?
Yeah, I would tell stories, but they would be different than what I'm telling now. Now I'm telling, like I said, the things I would do. You make up things. I would make up adventures. Tell people, and when I tell people, all the way to the punchline, they sit there and they're hanging on every word and they're believing everything you say, and then you hit them with the punchline and they go, damn, you did it again. Because you can make them so believable, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've done a lot of crazy things, people think that the stories are true. That's why I call them tall tales. Are they real or not? If I've done a good enough job, most people think they are real.
Right. So you just kind of test things out?
Yeah, I know what people are enjoying. So I'm standing in front of my place watching a guy walk down the street rolling a measuring tape. Okay, it'll be a while. All right. They're putting a sidewalk in front of my house. So.
Oh, okay. Which, that's something that I noticed as I read up on you, that you have a background in construction. You have definitely background. You're an entrepreneur by heart, because you have started up a lot of businesses. They were saying during the 80s you had multiple businesses going on at the same time. Well, actually, before, you know, what would be considered when you began. So I thought it was interesting.
I think that's actually also what made me so successful at what I used to do, is I've always been curious as to how things work and how to build things. And I've always really liked to race, whether it's cars, boats, motorcycles, go-karts. Hell, even one season I raced lawnmowers. That's probably the thing I really had the most fun doing, was because it was always such a hoot. You know, you're racing a lawnmower. And then my father had a concrete block company, which I ended up inheriting. So I'm into, you might say, the physical construction of buildings, warehouses, what have you. And because of that, I ended up traveling all over the state of Florida and getting down into also making shipments to Panama, because the U.S. government was doing all the construction on the canal and the maintenance, so everything came from there. So I ended up getting to travel to see all the backwoods. I was in Disney World before it was open, making deliveries there, and when they're building the rides, they would say, "Hey, get on, we need a dummy." I looked around, and there was nobody behind me, so I'm assuming I was the dummy, and I got on. So I got to ride Space Mountain and all the other things before Disney World was even open.
But
it gave me, you might say, a background in building things. And I didn't have a lot of money. I mean, I had money, but not crazy money. So whenever I wanted to do something in racing, most of the time I had to build it myself. I mean, physically build it myself. And then the way you learn is you break a lot of things. And you get better and better. So once I got to doing my other, might say, escapades, adventures, I was already a really, really good mechanic. I was really, really good with turbocharging things, which was the airplanes. And I've lived on a canal, which I still do, since I was 9 years old, and I have always been fascinated with boats, especially if they went fast.
Especially if they went fast. Which is cool. Yeah. Airplanes as well.
Yeah, actually, when I was in high school and in college, I ran track. I lettered 3 years in high school and 2 years in college. So even on my 2 feet, I like going fast. So that's also is what you might say, was part of one of your questions you were implying, is I always tried to stay in shape. So by doing that, I never got involved with cigarettes. Kind of hard to be on the track game and be smoking, and I never really got into the drinking thing. I think the first alcoholic beverage I ever had was, I was actually 21 years old, and I did drink a little bit for a while, and one day I said, I don't even need this, and I like doing things, so I never got into the drugs. I never tried pot, never tried coke, I never tried any of the what they call recreational drugs. And a little bit of alcohol one day, I said, nah, but I'll still, toast your wedding, bar mitzvah, christening, what have you, divorce, whatever you want to do. So it isn't like a lot of people think because I don't drink, it's because I can't drink. That isn't it. I can drink. I have no problem. But I never tell people not to. I tell people, I believe people can do anything and everything in moderation and it not hurts you. The key word is moderation. The only thing you shouldn't do in moderation is sex. That you should do all you can, and if it hurts you, it must have been really good.
Thank you.
Well, you're going to take my advice. Okay. Well, you have been taking my advice, and you didn't know it.
I plead the fifth. I plead the fifth.
Means you're guilty.
Well, and that's why I told you I don't see you like a cowboy.
Well, that's the irony of it is, that was an expression going about, the cocaine cowboys. I actually own a place in Indiantown. I have acreage and I have cattle there. Can't you call me a cowboy? I mean, I have cattle and I have a place in Indiantown. I mean, how much more can you get redneck than that?
I know, right? But you don't have cans, beer cans, and you probably do have rope. You probably lasso a lot. So I guess it's just that one element. I should get over that one element, right?
I guess so. I don't mind people calling me. It's fine. One time, because I like to wear cowboy hats, and somebody said, you're not a real cowboy because you don't have the boots on. And I'm saying, boots are fine. I got the boots, but you can't run in them really fast. And I like chasing young women, and they're fast, so I wear sneakers all the time.
Oh, wow. Now tell me, like, just listening to this material, is any of this in Tall Tales? Tell me about Tall Tales.
Tall Tales, the original one, there's going to be 9 of them. The first one's out. There's 5 stories on it. 4 of them are 4 to 10 minutes long. The last one's 28 minutes long. They're basically stories of what the people kept asking me about. In reference to when I was, you might say, in the late 70s and early 80s when I was doing what I was doing. you might say, my adventures in the drug smuggling business. Yeah, when you were introducing me earlier, you called me a trafficker. I kind of take offense to that. I always thought of myself as just a smuggler because I didn't buy it, I didn't sell it, I didn't steal it, I didn't use it. I just transported it. So whatever way you want to call it, yeah, I was UPS. they don't buy it, they don't sell it, they don't use it, they don't steal it. And the way it worked for me.
Perfect. Well, I will correct myself. That is duly noted. I will call you UPS from now on.
I'll be the well, no, you can call me smuggler. How's that?
Okay. That's fine.
I didn't wear brown uniforms either. So mostly it was blue jeans and blue shirts. So, and on the day I'd work, I would probably wear black. So you can kind of disappear if you have to. I wore black a lot.
You wore black a lot.
I worked a lot. There was always some adventure happening somewhere. Something went wrong with this or that. You got to go here. You got to do this. Got to fly here. Take the tow truck there. I don't know, in the boat. So there's always something going. One of the stories that's coming up in the next CD is in reference to a young lady and I going to the Bahamas to deliver a boat over there, and she doesn't, or didn't at that time, know what my, you might say, true profession was. She thought I was just a boat builder, and I and bought and sold and had a lot of real estate. And it wasn't until we got there that, I'll give you a little hint on the story. While we were spending the night, first night, we were in the Bahamas on an island that there's nobody else on. It's just a little skinny island. Somebody on the other side of the island, the island's only about 150 feet across, but it's like a quarter mile long, pulled up in a big Hatteras with about 20,000 pounds of pot and started unloading it to other boats, not knowing that we were there. And we watched them unload the commodity. The reason we wanted to watch them is make sure that they didn't get onto the island and discover that we were hit there. They might be upset with that. And you never can tell in that trade if somebody's a good guy or a bad guy or whatever. And whatever happened, somebody didn't show up or they had more than they thought. And they ended up leaving 1,200 pounds on the island. And the once they left, they had it covered underneath the trees with a big piece of bisqueen. And the young lady and I went running down to see what the treasure was. And she stabbed it with a big old dive knife and pulled out a big handful and took a big whiff and said, "Can I take enough for the rest of the week that we're going to be here?" And I told her no. And only women could get that big pouty lip. And she goes, "Please, please." And she promised me all kinds of things that we'd already been doing all day long anyway.
Wow.
To make it worth my while to let her take, you know, a couple handfuls of it. And I told her, I said, "No, we can't take that, but we might be able to take 800 or 900 pounds. And she said, "How are we going to do that?" So she went from little Miss school teacher to a drug smuggler in about 3.5 seconds.
Wow.
So, and we proceeded to take 815 pounds.
Wow.
In a little boat that was, she didn't know was a smuggling boat. I thought it was a really nice monster boat. She thought it was cute. But actually, I'd rather have a cute boat than one that looks like a drug smuggling boat. Nobody's ever going to stop a cute boat.
which is kind of like your story as well, in the sense that, and, you know, I'm going by hearsay because not everyone will write things correctly, but or accurately, I should say, that you basically delivered something to someone as a, almost like a last respect for a friend that just passed, and you were compensated for that, and that kind of piqued your interest. So within 3 seconds, you decided this is probably what I need to do. Am I correct in thinking that?
Yeah, it's basically it. I went from a concrete block company owner, and the economy at that time was really poor, to drug smuggler. It took me that long to decide what to do, where to go. But then it took me months to work it out to where I figured out how to do it, the best way to do it, and and what kind of equipment I needed. And then also I knew I was going to have personnel. So I had a lot of friends that were crazy like me. And working together, we came up with a project that people write books about and make documentaries. And now they want to make a movie about with Mark Wahlberg.
Right. Right, Paramount Pictures has picked that up, which is cool. Congratulations.
That should be fun. If they ever make it, it should be fun. Although you never can tell what writers are going to do. There's enough true facts that they should not have to make up anything, but I'm betting they'll probably make up all kinds of stuff. So
to make it sexier, I guess. But yeah, and the deal happened, what, 5 years ago?
Yeah, they finally got around to buying it out just like 6 months ago.
So
the only person that's cast is Mark Wahlberg. It's his project. They have the director, which is Peter Berg, and they have they've had several writers on the thing. I think they've settled into a writer that they're happy with. But and then they were originally throwing out things like, because at that time Mark Wahlberg and Leonardo DiCaprio were good friends, and in fact they'd made two movies together, and they were saying that Leonardo was going to play me. I think it still says that online, in fact, and people are asking about that all the time. And you know, how do you answer something like that? You know, the guy's a spectacular actor. So I just came up with one. I always told people I thought he was handsome enough.
He's handsome enough. That's funny.
Yeah. You're going to have somebody play you. Make sure it's a good-looking guy, you know?
Yeah, make sure he's a good-looking guy. That's funny. But I'm pretty sure he likes to study his characters, so he would have really, really engaged with you to really study your character. He's into character.
I've offered to... because they have to pay me a consultant's fee, whether I consult with them or not. I've offered to show them how to do it, where to do it, fly them around in an airplane, show them actual places that you could literally today still do it. In other words, scare the shit out of them, have a good time, give them the feel of what it's really, really like. You know, put an airplane on the deck at 25 feet coming in at 200 miles an hour off the cuff. And I would do it in the daytime for him, because I wouldn't really want to scare him, because you would really be doing it at night. That would be enough, I'm sure, to throw him. So.
Yeah, I think so. But, I mean, he's kind of familiar with planes. He did The Aviator with the Howard Hughes epic, bioepic,
yeah.
I should say.
Yeah, and actually, of his movies, I really did like that one. I've always been a Howard Hughes fan, I guess most people are. And Howard Hughes was, he was a brilliant man in the way that he could see something and figure out how to use it to make money with or to better other people. A lot of things he gets people think that he invented, but he didn't. He actually bought the patent from somebody else. The classic is what they call a flush rivet, which they use on airplanes. You don't have a bump sticking up, and there's thousands of rivets on an airplane. So when you smoothed it out, the airplane ends up being faster because there's no turbulence. He paid the man a fair price for the thing. Nobody knew what it was going to end up becoming, but he did. But he could have very easily basically paid the guy, I'll say in today's money, like $3,000 for his idea, but he continued to pay the man over the lifetime so that he had the thing, even though he didn't have to. So he was...
Yeah.
An honorable man in his sort of strange way, because he did do some strange things.
He did, but a lot of people would agree that he did do a lot of many honorable things. And there's one last point I wanted to make, and you know, two points actually, because as I read, some people, because of your background, kind of described you as the MacGyver of the era. But now that we're talking about it, you're more like the Howard Hughes of what was going on, you know?
I think John Roberts is the one that said the MacGyver thing is because I have this ability to make things or make things better. Or if you get somewhere and you're broke or stuck, I still get you home. you might come home limping, but you're still going to come home. You're not
right.
You're not going to be out in the middle of the bushes and weeds somewhere.
Right, and right.
And you know, a lot of the things I made, you never realized what they were really doing. You know, I would do them right in front of them. Like in the documentary, I towed the U.S. Coast Guard in with a boat that had 380 kilos of coke. They actually got in my boat. I tied their boat up and pulled their boat into Holliver Beach, into the little gas dock on the inside of Holliver.
And
that's because you have to have faith in your equipment.
Yeah.
And think, well, did they ever figure this one out? Boy, am I going to get a lot of trouble for this one. When I called, there was three pay phones there. Their radios didn't work, so when they get out into the two guys on the boat are calling their prospective office to say that their radios were down and I'm coming in by phone and the boat was broken. And I'm right in the middle and I'm calling the young lady who was the lookout at Holliver Cut at the Harbor House. And I call her up and I'm going, you'll never believe what happened. I know she saw me. She probably thought I was arrested, and she did. She thought I was arrested. And I said, really, they're going to arrest me and let me drive the boat and then sit on the back, right? Anyway, I call her. You'll never believe what happened. I just towed in the U.S. Coast Guard, and the guy standing next to me goes, oh, my God, who are you talking to? And I put my hand over the phone. I said, just a minute, ma'am. And I put my hand over the phone, and I said, it's just the Miami Herald. He goes, oh, my God, you're telling the newspaper. I said, no, I wouldn't do that to you. That would be embarrassing if somebody tows the Coast Guard in.
Oh my goodness.
And there's the boat with 380 keys on it, you know. And
that's
every time I saw them after that, they always waved at me. Now I had no troubles anymore. So.
That's hilarious. And this is why people just enjoy, you know, being around you. But you were saying to me earlier that, well, for a few days now, since we've met, that you really don't get why you have this local celebrity, well, more than local, if Paramount Pictures is covering him, but the celebrity status. If you had to dig deep, what do you think it is?
Well, people, you know, you get these things, oh, you're a legend, or you're my hero, and, you know, really, there's real people out there that are heroes and legends. Maybe it's because, you know, they look at it as I did something that most people would never do. Or they would like to do it, but they're just not going to go around to do it, or they, you know, and the fact that I did it so differently. I mean, what I was doing, you really never saw me. I was a ghost. I'm not the guy throwing money up in the air and, you know, buying this and buying that. I had every toy you could ever imagine, but I didn't flaunt it. I wasn't, you know, I looked like some redneck. Drove my tow truck everywhere. Took my dog with me. I was country, if you want to be that way about it. You know, good old boy driving his Chevrolet tow truck. Have you ever seen a tow truck stopped by the police?
No, I can't say that I have.
Well, gee, wouldn't that be the proper vehicle to be in if you were ever worried about transporting something?
I would think so.
And if you have whatever you're transporting in a vehicle that's being towed by the tow truck, they can't do anything to the tow truck driver. You don't know what's in it, but if you were driving that vehicle, you'd be in a world of trouble.
And that was interesting as I, because you asked me, you know, why did I decide to, we were going to do this a little later. You asked me, why did I decide to do it now? And I really sat back and started thinking about how much I love stories. I love character. And
are you calling me a character? Okay.
I'm calling you a character.
That's better than
at least I'm not saying it. At least I'm not saying it behind your back. I'm telling you on the phone, so over the airwaves, very far away. But also, you know, some of the things that grabbed me was the fact that you're just very, you know, unassuming. And when I finally did read some things, that was how you were described, as being frugal, very low key, and there were just so many things that kind of like, why would he do that? For instance, you know, the first thing you did was buy a plane to become a drug smuggler. Who does that? People buy cars, you know. So those things kind of...
You're leaving out one small thing there that most people know about. I will tell you. It's, I never had a flying lesson. I never got a pilot's lesson. I bought an airplane, flew it home. A twin engine high performance airplane.
Which is more reason, like, why would you start a business as a drug smuggler and buy a plane first? I mean, I guess it makes sense in the long run.
It's like the trucking business. If you're going to get a contract doing trucking, you need a truck before you go out and get the contracts. So I needed a vehicle. Plus, I knew I'm going to have to practice because I never flew one of the damn things before. So I needed a vehicle. And, you know, times were a little slow construction-wise, and I was still building motorcycles for people, and but, you know, not as many as I was. So I said, well, I have a time. I'll learn how to fly this thing and see how many times I can crash it. And I never crashed it. They always say any landing that you can walk away from is a good landing. I always said anything that you can run from was a great landing.
So were you always frugal? Were you always kind of the low-key guy among the crowd?
You wouldn't know it now because I have this white blonde hair. But when I was young, I had red hair. They called me Red. In fact, none of the Colombians really knew my name. It was just Red. And so I've always stood out. This tall, skinny guy with red hair. And, I wasn't trying to pull attention to myself. My family had money, but not crazy money. We lived in a nice house. We didn't really worry too much about car payments and things like that. My father built the house, so basically it was paid for. I'm still living in the house. My father built this thing like a bomb shelter. When you're in the concrete block business, you can imagine how your house is built.
Right.
And he built that 61 years ago. Wow.
Wow.
So, but I just couldn't see what I watched all the other people that were in the business at that time, and so many people were just flaunting it. Look at me, I'm a drug smuggler. Look at me, I'm a drug smuggler. Look at me, I'm a drug dealer. And I'm going, why? And then they wonder why they get in trouble.
Right.
And then they're going out and doing whatever they were doing, and the night before they were high as a kite, whether they were drinking or smoking or doing lines or whatever the hell else they were doing. Again, like I see no problem doing that, but I always ask, would you go to the dentist the night before he was doing lines of coke? No. So what you're doing is could end up taking 4, 5, 10 years of your life. You need to be as sharp as possible to make the right decisions, hopefully the right decisions, instead of one that be fuddled by whatever. Anyway, did I get long-winded there? I'm sorry.
You're right. You're right along with us. We love all of it. Now, for someone such as myself, who would not go out of my way to go see Tall Tales, to pick up Tall Tales, and I say that to say that, you know, I may not venture, like I said in the beginning, I watched Scarface just because we were all in the room watching Scarface. It's not like...
By the way, I went to see it and laughed all the way through it.
You laughed all... Well, there's a reason why.
It was a comedy. Nobody does that. That was stupid. And then he is a really good actor, but he's Italian, playing a part of a Cuban. And to make it sound like... Because he couldn't get an accent, they put marbles in his mouth. And I'm thinking, I'm not faulting... He's a phenomenal actor, but there are so many Latin actors that they could have had that would be able to do exactly the same thing, you know, pull this off. At least the guy would have sounded like he was really Spanish.
Well, you know, that's Hollywood, so that's a whole other topic in itself.
No, you're right, but everybody believed the movie. I'm saying there's a shootout on Star Island, and there's not 8,000 cops there in 3 minutes.
Right.
You know, and the guy had a grenade launcher. I'm going, really? Well, yeah. Nobody shows up.
So what would you say to someone that says, "Oh, I'm not into that kind of stuff"? How do you believe that would engage them?
Well, me into doing that as a business?
I'm sorry, no, the spoken word CD.
Oh, I think you'll like it because, well, I very carefully crafted the story so that women would be interested in it. It's not just a guy thing.
Thank you.
And I the last story, originally it was 32 minutes long. I cut 4 minutes of it, and the 4 minutes we cut off of it was and basically, I have to tell you what I did. I have to describe a place, and then I tell you a story that happened one night at this place while I was doing what I was doing. And I shortened those two descriptions now because, I'm sorry, I'm getting in trouble for this one. If we're not talking about shoes and hair or some kind of dress, you'll lose the women real quick. So I'm in trouble.
Oh,
right?
Come on, Mr. Monday.
I'm sorry. That's what it really is. But I got it down to where what I did was I brought 5 ladies to the studio. And I told them, whether you like her, tell me the truth about it. But what I did is while I played it for them, they're in a place that had ideal acoustics. The air conditioning was perfect. Everybody had a little glass of wine and played each one of the stories one at a time. Not just put the whole thing and play it through. And what I did is I watched them to see what their reactions were to the story. Says they're, are they listening? Are they fading out on me and things like that? And the one young lady was 17. I think the oldest was like 52. So it was everything in between. So I'm getting a broad enough spectrum of people that can tell me whether what I've got is good or not. And that was the only one they complained about. And the irony is that particular story is really violent. I thought that women in general wouldn't like it. And that's the one I get the most feedback on, comments. All positive, and it's almost all from women.
Wow.
So I do have a friend of mine write that particular adventure as a short script to maybe make it into a little tiny, like 20-minute mini film. It'll almost be like one episode on a TV show, which on a 30-minute TV show is 22 minutes long. The reason why we like it, it's not a lot of cost because it only involves 5 people, 2 voices, and 1 car, and film the whole thing with a night scope out on a canal bank. So it's real intense.
Awesome.
It's something that nobody else, I haven't seen anybody do something like it.
Right. As a matter of fact, that's what I was going to state, that, you know, a lot of our listeners can appreciate, because basically you had a listening party, but a focus group at the same time, you know, so that you can relate to your audience, and not just one particular audience, but a vast majority, you know, of different sexes, which is, I definitely commend you for that, but that's part of your entrepreneurial skill.
Well, I also have a script for a movie, a 98-page script, which usually on a script is to be about 1 minute of screen time on the average. And there's a young lady who's one of the characters in the thing that every woman, I will send you the script so you can read it, every woman that has read it wants to be Jazzy. You know? In fact, you remember the young lady who was there. Remember I saying
I do.
Read the script? And I gave her a hard time because she had the script for a month before she read it. And then when she finally did pick it up because I harassed her so much, she wouldn't put it down. So it was done. And then she calls me up and says, I want to be Jazzy. I want to be Jazzy. I want to be Jazzy.
And she said the same thing. She said that as soon as Michelle Spears, if she's listening, hello, she said the same thing. As soon as you read it, Imone, you're going to want to be Jazzy. I'm like, okay, I guess I want to be Jazzy already.
Well, it's something, maybe we're starting to see with some of the comic book characters where they're making strong women characters. You all don't have to be the little lace and lipstick on some guy's arm. You can still be the lace and lipstick, but you can also kick ass if you have to. Okay. And you can make the same mistakes that women do. Being trusting of men, so but still make up for it. So, and I left the story open, so it can either have sequels or it could be a pilot for a TV.
Nice.
I'm going to say it. Our heroes It isn't that they get away. Nobody knows, law enforcement-wise, nobody knows about them. And that's the way we end it. Everybody's happy.
Good.
And everybody has a lot of money.
Good. Well, there's one last thing I want to ask you before we get your, how to stay connected with you, is that you had stated that not too many people know this side of you. Who was shocked the most, even when they listened to the spoken word CD and say, wow, I didn't know you were so good. I mean, I knew you were good, but I didn't realize how good you were.
Wait. A woman just said that to me.
Oh my goodness.
I'm loving it. Thank you.
I don't know what I'm going to do with you.
Did I say anything wrong?
No.
Thank you.
How many people were shocked to learn that you are in this career?
How many people?
Of spoken word.
How many people that I run into are shocked to find out that I'm good?
Oh, man. I just hope that the audience, is feeling sorry for me right now.
That's why you're laughing and you're blushing, too.
Yes, if you only knew.
I'm turning purple. When I met you, I made you blush. I mean, really.
I'm turning purple.
Okay. I never say anything bad.
You never do, actually. You never really do. So who was really very, very maybe taken aback by the fact that now you're in this direction of a career?
I actually have a lot of friends in law enforcement. And I actually give dissertations for, like, SOFCOM, which is the U.S. Southern Command for the Interdiction of Drugs and Terrorism. And the feeling I get is they really don't give a damn about drugs. They're worried, and they really should be, about terrorism. And they really got their hands full. So you think about it, I brought back, I like to say, what is marijuana meant for? It's meant for fun. What is cocaine meant for? It's meant for fun, whether you have feelings that way or not. But I didn't bring back AK-47s, explosives, or poison. I brought back fun, and I brought it and did it over and over and over again right in front of them. So what would happen if somebody wanted to bring back something evil, truly evil? They want to know how to prevent that from happening,
right?
What they need to look out for. So I basically, when I talk to them, and actually spend most of the time asking questions, I scare the hell out of them. It's not me. They never have to worry about me. I'll be the first guy to stand up for anybody who wants to do something in this country. I imagine you probably get every young man and old man in this country would say the same thing. You can do what you want, but you just don't do it here. Leave us alone. Okay, but if you do something here, boy, oh boy, I think the country song will put a boot up your ass real fast. Okay, real fast. And why anybody wants to do that to us, I don't understand, but that's where people are find out that I do writing and I do talks to different places. I go to schools, universities, high schools, and I talk to them like I'm talking to you right now. People ask questions, and I speak to them. And I've ended up doing a lot of video stuff for commercials and music. And the irony is, I'm not really a rap fan, but I end up in an awful lot of rap videos. So.
Yes, I would believe so.
So, of course, I tease the guys. I say, excuse me, but I'm just watching this video, and there's only one white guy in it. I said, what is this? And I'll end up with a T-shirt that says token white guy,
Oh, my gosh, that's hilarious.
It's not me buying it. They get it for me because I give them such a hard time about it, And by now you probably realize I don't give a hoot if somebody's green. I don't care what religion you are. I don't care. That's why we live where we live. You can be what you want to be. There's too many people died for you to be able to do what you want to do, as long as you don't bother anybody else.
Right.
You know?
Okay. And I thank you for that point, because, a lot of us may not look at it as fun, but the fact that now you're assisting, the wherewithal to assist, the law enforcement to, hey, this is the mindset that you have to look for. These are the things that you have to do. I think that is definitely commendable. Has anyone ever said to you, well, you're kind of selling out the business?
No, because I'm never going to do anything that's going to do anything to anybody doing, we'll call it drugs. Okay, if they haven't been able to figure it out on their own, why they don't need me. I'm basically, the reason why I was asked to do this was to help with the terrorism thing. It's not to help with the drug trafficking.
Okay.
That was what they induced me to talk about. And, you know, like I said, if I brought back 500 kilos, it's like 1,100 pounds of fun, it would have been just as easy to bring back something incredibly evil. And most of those people who do the incredible evil, they only do it one time.
Right.
I did it over and over and over again, right in front of them. You know, landed a seaplane twice right off of Turkey Point. Imagine if I'd gone to Turkey Point.
Right.
And by the way, Turkey Point was only like 2 miles from Homestead Air Force Base, which at that time was a Strategic Air Command Air Force Base. So they never saw me.
Wow.
So,
wow. Yeah, and there's a lot of gaps out there that a lot of the law enforcement either are understaffed or not able to catch right away.
Well, we'll go back to what is, I keep saying, we live in an incredible country, and this country is open. We're not at war. We don't seal our borders. I mean, they could really easily put up AWACS around the clock and stop anything and everything that came this way, but we don't. Well, that's what that lady in the harbor there for, which, by the way, was a gift from the French people. Most people don't even know that.
Right.
So
I think we forgot. I don't think not a lot of people know, but I'm going to say that we might have forgotten that we need to teach younger people, younger generations about that.
My thing is, I did what I did. I had a good time doing it. It was a lot of fun. If I had it for free by the ton, and I could say no to it, anybody else could. But again, I'm not telling you, I'm not looking down my nose at anybody who does want to do recreational drugs. It's just not me. I think that people ask me, what do you do? I said, well, I like doing dangerous things, and probably the most dangerous thing I do is chase young women.
It always comes back to that.
I like the way you said that, too. Think about what you said.
Well, thank you so much, Mr. Monet. I would love, 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 love to have you back on the show with us anytime, especially as your other adventures start coming about, like the movie, the second
There's one more little thing is, you haven't touched on it all. I'm working with several artists down in the Wynwood area, and one of them you're going to have as a guest, Michelle, Michelle Scriptures. We're going to hide love all the Wynwood. We're going to make it so you have to get out and hunt for it, and I'm going to do it in a really, really unique way that nobody else has ever done. So it's going to make it a lot of fun, and when we finally get it to where we want it, we're going to have a treasure hunt for love.
Oh, that's great.
I'll give you the hint. For love, you have to have two. And I might actually hide it so that it can be seen by two people, so you end up with a menage a trois. I'm also going to hide a lot of kisses. I'm going to hide a lot of kisses, too, because it's two for a kiss.
I don't think you can hide it too well, Mr. Monday. I don't think that's something that you can do when it comes to her.
I'm betting you that I'm going to hide it and you won't see it. And once I show it to you, you're going to go, oh, wow. be at the right time, at the right place to see love.
So how can we actually stay connected with you so we know when all of these activities are coming about?
I have an Instagram, the official Mickey Mundy. That's probably the easiest way. I'm all over Wikipedia and there's different websites that you can find me at. And if you really want to start and have a lot of fun, it's Amazon is called Tall Tales Mickey Mundy. There's a million tall tales, but so you have to put the artist after it. I'm trying to think. I'm not really an artist, but okay. You have to put whoever the performer is, so it'll take you right to it. So it's Tall Tales Mickey Mundy.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
And by the way, I make no money on that. Whatever the checks come in, I sign the back of them and I send them to Children's Hospital.
Oh, that's wonderful. I didn't know that. That's great to know.
I don't. It isn't like it's a lot of money, but I promised myself, even if it was like crazy money, I would still do it.
Right. Awesome. Well, we're definitely proud of you for that. And don't think I didn't forget. You still have to take me flying.
You want to get high with me. Okay.
Thank you so much for coming on with us. And we just appreciate you so much. And we've learned a lot, which I knew that we would. And don't be a stranger.
Well, you have my number. You know how to get on anytime. If anything comes up you want to chit-chat about, I'm more than happy to. People actually call me up and ask me the damnedest things on advice, not just about my whole profession, on relationships and things like that. So I'm going to start my own. I think, I'm kidding me, I'm saying this because I'll get flooded with it. I'm going to start my own advice column. Ask Mickey.
Which is going to be cool. And I think that's probably going to be the next topic when I have you on.
Okay.
Talk about some of the advice that you give, because I remember we talked about that, and that would be a great topic to share with folks. So I'm glad that you're putting it out there. You're up for it.
Okay. Yes. I'm going to let that one slide. That was too easy. I'm going to let that one slide.
That was all right? Well, have fun laying down the sidewalk.
Well, I hope that I get this thing done, because I'm going to tell you, as soon as you're done, I'm going to put love all over the sidewalk.
Oh, cool.
You enter love here and exit love there.
Awesome.
I'm
awesome.
Carving it into the concrete. So don't tell anybody.
I won't. I promise I won't. I respect you. a helpful fear for you there, Mr. Monday.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Bye. Have a great day.
Yes, ma'am. Bye.
Okay. Bye. Thank you guys for tuning in again to the Regal Point Radio Show. What a great, great conversation with Mr. Michael Mundy. Just a side of him that not too many people are aware of, but we're just so appreciative that we can share that with him. So tune in next week where we'll have Mr. Lamont Carey, a poet entrepreneur, on the show, and just so much things going on. Just want to say thank you to everyone who's participated in All Fed Homeless Drive is going on this week. All of our guests and all of the bands and the poets that came to Poetry Rock Soul Fest, you made it an absolute success. We're already gearing up for the next show and having those people come back out, because it was just an amazing, amazing experience. So I thank you guys for that. And also Black Tech Week, the final days are this weekend. Go ahead and check it out. And that has been a blast as well. So you guys have a great day. I hope you had about to have a great lunch. And we look forward to hearing from you and seeing you again. Thank you.
We now come to the end of another dynamic episode of the Regal Poets Radio Show. I truly hope you enjoyed yourselves and learned something that inspires you, educates you, and empowers you to take your art form to the next level. The pieces you have heard today will be the featured videos on our YouTube channel at Regal Poet under the Regal Poet of the Week playlist. leave a comment, and a like. More importantly, share on the social media you use, or just send an email to a friend or a colleague of the playlist and of one of our Regal notes off of Facebook, also under Regal Poet. That's spelled REGALPOETE. If there's a poem you would like to share that inspired you to love poetry, a poet who fits the bill as a great entrepreneur, or a topic you would like to hear on our show, please feel free to contact us at regalpoet, REGALPOETE, at gmail.com, or leave us a voice message at 772-245-POET. That's 772-245-7638. We also like photos of our Regal Poets looking fabulous, so you can tag us with hashtag Regal Poets, where we'll find it on all of the photo apps from Instagram to Flickr. We will see it. We're on all of those. This program is being made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. If you'd like to be a member of the Regal Poet family, please leave a donation through PayPal with our email, REGALPOETE@gmail.com, as the recipient. Again, thank you for listening. Tune in next week, where we will be featuring another Regal Poet of the Week. Enjoy the rest of your lunch, and always remember what poet Walt Whitman says. There are two selves, the public self and the real self, the regal self. Regal poets say, be yourself, be regal.